Everybody ready?
Yep.
Let's go.
Ahsoka!
Four Midwest Guys presents Star Wars Rebels HQ.
Battles leave scores. Some you can't see.
All across. I'm afraid it's changing.
I will never let my friends get hurt again.
Your anger gives you strength.
Governor Price, these rebels have proven particularly stubborn. How do you intend to solve this problem?
I need someone who sees a bigger picture.
To defeat an enemy, you must know them. Not simply their battle tactics. But their history, philosophy, art.
I must become more powerful.
Split the treasure.
Oh, that's a classic.
One last glorious day in the Grand Army of the Republic.
Jedi and Sith, the light and the dark.
They'll be the architects of their own destruction.
The key destroying the Sith.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Four Midwest Guys Presents Star Wars Rebels HQ. Today we will be reviewing Episode 10, Season 3, Episode 10, and Inside Man. Here to help me do that today is my brother Aaron.
Hey, how's it going, man?
How's it going, man?
Yep, it's all right.
Good. And Brian couldn't be with us. He's feeling a little under the weather, but we wish him well, and we know he's here as a Force ghost. So get better there, Brian, and we'll see you next time. All right, so let's move right into an Inside Man. We are back on Lothal. It's been a while since we've seen Lothal. In fact, I don't think we've seen Lothal since...
I want to say somewhere in Season 2, right?
Maybe the beginning of Season 1. This season, was it? Or am I miss...
Did we have an episode at the beginning of Season 3?
Well, yeah, we did, but I don't... Actually, no, you're right. I think it's been since Season 2 since
we... Yeah, I think the last time we were here is when the last time we saw Ryder as well.
Yeah, probably. Or when they were in the temple, maybe, even.
Before. Was that on Lothal?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it might have been
when
that.
When they saw... Yeah, when Ezra talked to Yoda. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that might be the last one.
I think that was the last time we were in Lothal. So it's been a while. So, Lothal, unlike the last time we saw the capital city, this... time it's not much of a city anymore. It's pretty much looks like an Imperial factory city on extreme lockdown.
Yeah, I mean it seems more or less that's what all the industry in the area is now. Like, I'm sure there's also some sort of food service and sewage and stuff like that, but yeah, it just looks like it's part of the factory at this point.
Yeah, there's nobody roaming the streets. It's pretty barren.
Yeah.
Except for the stormtroopers and the walkers and
yeah,
everybody's on...
Well, it could
curfew,
be maybe there's a curfew sort of thing imposed.
Yeah, lockdown pretty much.
It's a little dark. Don't go outside.
Yeah, move along. But yeah, the Empire is definitely no longer displaying "we're here for your protection, citizen" kind of thing, and letting people do their own thing anymore.
They're... Not so much.
Yeah.
Also, it kind of seems like most of the jobs are being forced into the factory work, because even later on when they start talking about that, it's your qualifications don't really seem to matter too much, apparently.
Yeah, just do as we tell you and everything will be fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the return, we also get the return of Ryder Azadi. This is the guy who was in prison with Ezra's parents, but now he looks like he's like the head of the rebel resistance on Lothal now, it looks like.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a very small cell on Lothal, but...
Yeah.
I mean, it's him and, what, two other guys? Maybe
yeah,
three?
It's maybe three. There's, looks like Joe the bartender, the farmer and his wife, and then Ryder. That was all that was shown, anyway.
So. Yeah.
But not a huge rebel cell, but still something.
Yeah. Well, then there's the one guy who, like, inspected the AT-AT walker later on, who might have been part of it.
Might have been, maybe.
Or either that, or he's just shit at his job. It really could go either way.
Yeah, he might have just been the unlucky, yeah.
That's the one I did. It's all nice and perfect. Oh, no, it's not. I'm sorry! I meant the other one!
I knew I should have tightened that bolt. Damn it. Yeah, that's what you get for being lazy. Anyway.
I don't know. I'm sure an AT-AT walker requires more than just, like, one loose bolt to go that bad.
Well, I don't know if it's anything like what the Empire gives their stormtroopers for armor. Anyway, so, yeah, he's running the Lothal and Rebel Resistance. And also back was Kanan and Ezra. Jedis are back in action. I like
you actually see Kanan out on missions now.
Yeah, it still kind of bothers me. I kind of wanted to see Kanan continue to struggle just a little bit with his disability.
I don't know. I mean,
he's just running around like.
Apparently, normal. He's like, oh, I can use the Force to see. Cool.
Yeah,
I'm good.
And he's like really good at it now. Like he's super proficient. But
took him like 2 weeks to master.
Yeah.
Like, he had proper incentive. He was like, I kept running into walls. Had to be able to see something.
But I also like the, how they use the Jedi with the speeder, how he turned the speeder sideways. And
Is it weird they actually waited until the one thing blew up from overheating before they actually started, like, using the Force to do that? Because theoretically, you could just use that to do, like, throw one into the other.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I'm actually talking about the scene before this.
Oh, okay.
He turns his speeder sideways. You've got Ezra up on one engine, Kanan's down on the other, and they use their lightsabers to cut through the walker's legs.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, which I thought was
cool.
That was cool. The only thing I keep saying though is like, why doesn't Luke do that on Thoth?
Every time.
Yeah, it's the only thing.
It's that like, original series gap, man. It's just like. Technology was really good in the prequels, really good in 7, really advanced techniques in the prequels, really advanced in 7. Just what happened? Just everyone went stupid for 4, 5, 6.
It's just that one little thought that edges in the back of my head every time I see it. I think it's cool as all get out, but I'm always like, why the hell didn't Luke do that?
Yeah, the timeline issue does present a thing because the technology for making the series got better. So they're like, oh, we can do all this cool stuff. And then they're like, 4, 5, and 6 didn't do any of this.
I guess, and then I go, well, of course, Luke just wasn't trained yet. He wasn't trained real well. That's what it was.
He had a weekend training camp.
He did. He only had, like, one training session with Kenobi. You know, the rest was Yoda, so.
Yeah, and Yoda had him for a weekend.
Yeah.
He was just like, yeah, I will be your backpack now. Let us run.
Let us go and do flips and fly. All right, a little industrial sabotage, like you were talking, Aaron. They found their way into the rebels inside their factory, and I guess when they get the speeders, it kind of seems like enough.
A lot of people got forced into the factory, so it really wasn't that hard to sneak them in.
I guess not, but it was still kind of cool that they had rigged these speeders if they go too fast to blow up.
Which really is like the laziest form of resistance in some ways, though, isn't it? It's like, I don't want to be here. You're making me be here. I'm going to do a shit job, and you're going to be pissed off about it.
Well,
I mean, that's more or less what their plan was.
Kind of, but I mean, if you're going to strike back and you're dead, you know.
Yeah, it's striking back and
you want to make the most a difference.
Easiest way possible.
Well, just
screwing, doing a shit job at work.
Yeah.
For the cause.
Pretty much, yeah.
It's how we all want to contribute to society.
Well, hey.
Yeah. Doing a shit job at work.
To each their own, right?
For the cause.
But, So once we get back to the rebel camp on Lothal, it turns out that the whole idea to sabotage this was actually from Morad Sumar, which Sumar is actually the farmer all the way back from season 1 that Zeb and Ezra helped rescue.
I actually don't even remember that.
That was the same episode where they steal the TIE fighter together.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. And
there's the farm episode where they... Sumar won't sell his farm to the Empire, so they just kind of seize it and take him prisoner. Oh,
okay. Right on.
Yeah, so it's the same character. But also, he's also a friend to Ezra and his parents. So yeah. He knows Ezra and even makes a comment up to Ezra, you've really grown and you cut your hair.
Yeah.
So, nice little...
Just have to keep bringing that up, don't they?
Yeah. Rub it right in. We also find out, though, that Ezra and Kanan are on a... Lothal for a reason. They're there for a reconnaissance mission on a possible future strike on the Lothal factory. Mm. Fulcrum has apparently revealed to them that the Empire is building a new weapon. Yeah.
If this factory is having such a high incidence of, shit fucking up, is this really the first factor you want to strike in terms of damaging the Empire?
Well, yes, because they, like I said, they get a report from Fulcrum, apparently.
Mm.
Their inside guy or girl, spy that the Empire is building some kind of new weapon there.
Oh, okay.
So they're there to find out what it is. So, and if it's a big enough deal, then maybe it warrants striking right away.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So that's why they're there in the first place. Then Sumar, of course, then mentions, you know, increased security in a section called A2. You know, they said, you know, they've been transferring their best workers to that area.
Yeah.
And that's why they're letting them in, because they need somebody to take their place.
They lost all the people that actually could do the job.
Right, they put all their skilled people in this A2 section working on whatever secret project it is.
Yeah.
So now they're forced to take in people off the street and,
well,
here's how you turn a wrench and, you know, follow these instructions.
We will give you a very specific job and you will do it repetitively until you die.
Yeah, exactly. You will do this and buy the point of a gun and, yeah. It's not
about the gun aspect. It sounds kind of familiar.
It's kind of... Yeah, it's very much cog in the wheel, right?
Yeah.
But that's kind of the Empire, though. I mean, yeah, there's no individuality. Your worker, XYZ. Yeah. You know?
It's really amazing they don't just have more drones, isn't it?
It really is. You think they would automate, but maybe it's just cheaper to use slave labor.
Like, is maybe just certain metals are really scarce, so they're just like, just throw some flesh bags at it.
Yeah, kind of. Like I said, it's like, it seems like they're very money conscious for whatever reason, even though they own the galaxy.
Yeah,
but they cut back everywhere they can. It's like, we'll just use these slaves. And
I don't know, do you think it's like a corruption within the Empire sort of thing? Like, there's just like a couple high ranking officials that are like, I got a planet. What? How else am I supposed to like feed all the servants on my planet?
Yeah, I mean, they're probably told. Well, even Governor Price says that she has quotas to meet, and that's why they're doing this.
Yeah,
in the first place, later in the episode. But, yeah, there's probably people saying, well, I can take a cut of the money and still get the same product and pretend that I'm giving the Emperor everything he needs.
I think that'd be a fun part of, like, an episode to explore at some point.
Oh, yeah, the corruption within the Empire?
Yeah.
That'd be really cool.
Either that or just, like, have a spinoff, the Empire's internal corruption board.
We're good at going off on tangents, so I'll go off on one here. And in the book, in the New Dawn, the main Empire, or the main bad guy in that book, he's kind of like that. He's a big wig in the politics realm.
Yeah.
And he's kind of all about...
just like skimming money off the top of himself.
Well, not just that, but how he can make himself more prominent.
Yeah.
You know, in the Empire. And he has rivals.
He's like...
the Empire itself.
And now I'm the politician with the fancy hat.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, he has rivals that he's, you know...
Trying to one-up,
yeah. So it would be kind of cool to explore that
outside
of the book, because they do go into it kind of in depth.
That does actually sound kind of interesting.
Yeah, I recommend it. It's not the most exciting book in the world, but New Dawn is a decent read for... And it's about the beginnings. It's how Kanan meets Hera for the first time and all that stuff. Yeah, so,
nice.
Yeah, it's very kind cool. of a cool book.
So it's actually still canon.
Yeah, it is canon.
It's not the long past expanded universe sort of thing.
Right, it is actually canon. I read it before I started watching Rebels, because they said it was the first, you know, it was a good read.
Okay.
So I recommend it if you want to know a little bit of Kanan's background and Hera's too, really.
Okay, that's cool.
So check it out. So we're in the Lothal factory assembly area. They immediately are lining everybody up. Kallus shows up. Governor Price, right next to him. They were being honored by a surprise visit from High Command. Turns out, though, High Command happens to be Thrawn.
Yeah.
And Thrawn immediately says he's not here for a visit, but he's here for an investigation/inspection.
Mm-hmm.
Because of all the...
the high rates of failure from the equipment.
Yeah. And
which I think's fair. You have, you know, a certain percentage of your equipment malfunctioning that's abnormal. It's going to attract attention.
And if I'm the Emperor, I'm going to send my smartest tactician I have, and that would probably be Thrawn, to figure it out.
Just, you know, some dude in the area. Whatever.
Whatever, but still.
You want to make a note of it.
Oh, yeah. And we finally, in this next scene, we finally get to see Thrawn in action a little bit.
Yeah, it's... it's actually, this episode is kind of refreshing that you actually see Thrawn talk, mm-hmm. have a personality, do something other than just like, yes, it's interesting to see what you did there.
Yeah, exactly. He's finally exerting himself rather yeah. than just studying all the time. He's still studying in this episode the whole time, but
yeah.
we get to see a little bit of his dark side, so to speak.
No, but like how he actually it's clear he goes with the intent of having things go down the way they do.
Oh, yeah.
Like when he has, what is it, Sumar on the speeder bike, which uh-huh. happens a second later, it's like he clearly knows, like, oh, this is a common problem.
Right.
They clearly know it's a common problem, and I'm going to make sure they don't keep doing it.
In fact, I don't think he knows which ones the rebels are, but I'm pretty sure he's conscious that the rebels are probably in the factory.
There's a high likelihood of it,
and that he went out of his way to pick Sumar because he probably knows that Sumar has a connection to Ezra because he studies everything.
I don't know if I'd go that far, but he clearly does think that having them test their own equipment uh-huh. in the building
yeah.
is a really quick way of making sure they don't let it keep happening.
And the fact that he made a public example out of Sumar
oh, yeah.
and killed Sumar by speeding up the Rebel bike even after...
Yeah, even after Sumar's, oh, it's malfunctioning, I have to close it down. It's like, nope, not done yet. Keep going.
Yep. And
turn the bike to full speed.
And it blows up and he's gone.
Yeah.
Right in front of everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. And you could see, like, the other workers there outside of Ezra himself being like, oh, shit.
Yeah, like, what the hell just happened?
And then he has that short speech, like, we just would like to let you know that you will be personally inspecting anything you build here from now on.
Boom. Yeah, that's the Thrawn from the book.
Yeah.
That's just a taste of what he's like in the books.
Like, that's actually a really good scene, and it's actually interesting use of the character.
Yeah.
Like, and that's something we haven't really seen with him this season.
No,
so.
We finally get to see, like I said, his dark side, if you know, just a little bit of
it. I don't even know if I count as dark as just, like...
Cold?
Cold, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, very, very cold.
It's cold, but it's practical.
Mm-hmm. Thrawn does nothing without a purpose.
Yeah.
There's always something.
Mm.
He doesn't just do shit for the sake of doing it.
There's, yeah, he's not in it for the lulz, is what you're saying.
Right. There's always an underlying game or plan or something with him. He's got a bigger goal in mind with everything he does.
Yeah.
So he wastes nothing, you know,
I am.
For the sake of wasting it. So obviously... Kanan kind of holds Ezra back.
Yeah, he kind of has to.
Ezra's about ready to pull out his lightsaber. You know, go after
You know, actually, from the trailer, I assumed he was actually going to do like a force pull sort of thing.
I'll try to... Yeah.
Like, pull him away from the explosion.
Yeah.
But no, like, he actually holds back from doing it to keep, like, himself hidden.
I think he's probably stunned by the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then by the time he realizes what's happened, it's too late. And I think it would have been the cool thing to do... There, if you wanted to show Ezra kind of turning the dark side, is to see him try to force choke Thrawn or something.
Yeah,
you know, and then Kanan.
I don't know. I kind of liked where they went with it. To be honest, like I kind of liked just letting it showing like Thrawn just cold tactics.
Cold and cactus. Yeah, I agree. It would have taken away from that, but
yeah, I think there was something really nice just with how they did. Just like because after he blows up, you see that little helmet hit the ground, and all of a sudden you just see, like, the worker's response to it.
Yeah.
And it's a good way of killing someone off an explosion on a kid's show.
Yeah, well, they do that really well.
Yeah.
They've always done that. Even with Clone Wars, you know, they behead somebody, and you don't
Yeah, but I feel like on Disney Channel, like, it's Disney XD or whatever, but I feel like you still I imagine the restrictions are tighter there than on Cartoon Network. Because at least with Cartoon Network, like in the Toonami block, you had things like DBZ and other things where like you can kind of get away with like being a bit more graphic. And then you had like Adult Swim, which is really graphic at times. So I feel like there's more leeway there than with Disney.
True.
But at the same time, like it's still doing it very tactfully and very well, you know, to still convey the emotion of it.
Sure, yeah. You completely get the emotion without having to see him blown to pieces.
Yeah.
I mean, you can tell what they've seen,
the
horror they've just witnessed.
I don't get me wrong. I wouldn't be against them showing, like, a barbecued corpse, but
yeah,
they don't have to.
No, not for kids. I don't want my daughter seeing that. But I did watch Gabby when she watched it, and her eyes were just real big.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it had its impact.
You wouldn't want the barbecue corpse with a couple ribs sticking out.
No, I don't want any...
Deep-fried farmer.
Yeah, no deep-fried Sumar, please.
The sumar does sound like it should be a dish, doesn't it?
Deep fried sumar served with a side of calamari. Breaking into section A2. So after a diversion created by Chopper, they're able to get away. After Thrawn leaves.
Out of curiosity, is it weird they don't kill Chopper here? Like, there's, like, Chopper just intentionally set a bike free and launched it forward at him. They're like, hey, you go to repairs. Clearly annoyed. Clearly agitated.
I guess it's just either the Empire has a lot of malfunctioning droids and it happens a lot, or that's just their mentality with droids is, well, it must have malfunctioned. There's no way it would have done it on purpose.
Yeah, but, like, if it's malfunctioning to the point it's going to kill you, like, someone has to have, like, just a rage quit moment where there's, like, effing droids, blast them right in the head. Yeah. Like, it has to happen, but it never does.
It never does. It's true. Yeah, I guess they just have the mentality of droids never do that, so it must just need work.
Yeah.
It must need maintenance. I don't know. But, like, yeah.
Because don't get me wrong. I know you're not supposed to destroy company property, and it kind of is, but if it tries to kill you, you're going to make exceptions.
True. So, luckily, two stormtroopers come along the way as they're hiding in the hallway, and they're able to quickly change outfits. They're now stormtroopers instead of workers.
That convenient timing?
Yeah, I don't know if it's because of the original trilogy and watching them dress up in stormtrooper outfits. Mm. I always like it when they do that,
when they dress up as stormtroopers.
Yeah, and they're hiding as stormtroopers or whatever.
Yeah. I always find it funny how easy it is to punch a dude in a full face helmet and knock him unconscious.
That just shows you how cheap that armor is. that armor goes down to sticks and rocks and Jedi, so...
Yeah.
You know, like, there must be fighting with cardboard, you know?
Like, it's essentially just cheap plastic.
It's really cheap
plastic. Like, in the films, it looks like it's cheap plastic, but in real life, it's really cheap plastic.
Or, yeah, it's like it's that, you know, stuff you just kind of put your finger through if you push hard enough, maybe, you know? Shit, I'm fighting with cardboard.
It got damp. We're dead.
Shit. Well, might as well just pretend we're going to shoot something.
Just stand here, keep firing. No one asks questions.
Exactly, right? Just keep firing.
Look busy. Look busy.
Move along. So we find out Thrawn has kept this place on such lockdown that you have to give his personal code to get in, and if you don't, they shoot you on sight. Mm. He's given them orders to shoot on sight. So once again, they use... apparently, there's a new fighter initiative, we find out, because Kallus is trying to probe for information, because apparently Kallus is Fulcrum.
Yeah.
So we find out a little later.
he misses Zeb.
Yeah, and even I liked how Kallus said, well, how does one fighter make a difference? And I love Thrawn's line. He said, one small thing can make a difference in a fight.
Yeah.
You know, he points out... And then
well, not just that, but a small thing can create an exponential change.
Right.
Like, it doesn't, like, a line or anything, but it's one of those things you see. Like, you have a small improvement to your vehicles, and you improve, you know, make them in mass,
right,
and you have an army of improved fighters.
Well, sure, it's like putting...
But it's weird they don't take that mentality and apply that to the stormtroopers' armor.
I know,
or
right?
Guns.
You think they would. But it's kind of the same thing, like, in the Civil War when they introduced the first Gatling gun. Which was a rapid-firing gun with a hand crank, right?
Yeah.
You know, just a bunch of barrels. And, you know, changed the art.
I mean, either that or you can go back to the introduction of the cannon or the trebuchet or really any kind of small improvement of, you know, a weapon in history. Like, the trebuchet really is the same thing as a catapult. It just goes farther, so...
Yeah, well, they say the generals that fail to understand the changes in technology in the on the battlefield are the ones that usually lose the battle.
Not just that, but then you also have to understand how that change in technology has to affect the tactics. Like,
precisely.
Especially if you go to, like, the Revolutionary War, where we had to go to a more guerrilla tactics that made more sense than the standing Napoleonic stand and shoot sort of thing.
Same for the Civil War, right?
Yeah.
They were still lining up Napoleonic style, really.
Yeah. It's actually kind of funny because you assume you would learn from the Revolutionary War where that wasn't as common.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
You know, I often wonder if that, and that's going on another tangent, I wonder if that's more bravery than stupidity. I've always wondered, because you got to have some balls to stand up there and literally line up and take a bullet.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, no one wants to be in that front line.
Right, exactly, yeah. Right?
You know? But it's one of those things, like, throughout history, you have that kind of function. Like, you look at Russia during World War One or World War Two, and it's like, you look at their tactics, and, like, it's really, in order to win a spot, they're really just throwing the more manpower at it. Like, oh, yeah. That is Russia's, like, main tactic historically.
Well, yeah, I mean, they would throw people at gunpoint into gunfire. Yeah. It's like, how does that work?
But it, yeah. In some cases, it worked. It's the funniest bit about it.
Yeah,
it's,
the mentality, right? But,
anyway. I mean, you just have enough people and you outnumber them. It worked, apparently, in certain cases. Precisely. It's either that or you work for the elements on your side defensively.
Yeah. All right, let's get back on track.
I'm sorry, what were you even talking about?
We're talking about Star Wars Rebels, sir. Welcome back.
Okay.
From history. Kanan and Ezra use Chopper to break into A2. They basically, I guess, grab another droid and steal his certification code. And
yeah.
You know, you would think that they'd have Chopper, I don't know, they'd recognize that even though he's an older droid, that he's no longer, you know, even in...
Well, yeah, you'd also think there'd be, like, a certain security code for, like, each individual. Like, you think it'd be specialized, right?
Special droid, yeah.
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 Also, he's not even, like, having it. Like, he's holding it, like, in his arm just out.
Yeah, he's not
He's even, like, here
yeah,
you go.
Here you go.
Someone gave me this.
And even when he gets into Section A2 in the control room, the one guy just peeks over and goes, oh, all right.
Another droid, whatever. Another droid,
whatever. So, I guess it works. Another...
Yeah, it's one of those things, like... Yeah, sure, it could be like a quick plot armor sort of thing, but we can jump over this one. It's not like a big enough thing.
It's not. Really. It's how they get things done.
Don't get me wrong. Like, the consistency of which would work, yeah, it's kind of a plot hole, but whatever.
It's part of the show. It's part of its charm.
Yeah.
So
it's like the judo chop in Austin Powers. It shouldn't work, but whatever.
So we get back into Thrawn and his study of his artwork.
I actually thought that was a really cool scene as well. Like, yeah. He's starting to look at, like, the graffiti and stuff like that. It's, like, yeah. Looking at, like, the different symbolism that's clearly popping up over and over and trying to make connections. Like, that is actually kind of an interesting way of interpreting, like, a city you're, you know, holding over or holding.
And the other thing I love what he does, he's always testing his own people. Like, when he asked both the commander and he asked Kallus, well, what is the symbol? Well, Commander, it's just graffiti, and then Kallus answers it. So
yeah.
He's actually learning something that Kallus understands. Mm. That, you know, he's smarter than the commander.
Yeah,
and two, he's learning more about Kallus as he's going along.
Yeah.
At the same time.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing, and also, I mean, it's an interesting thing about Thrawn as well, where he's taking like different knowledge. He's taking mythology, like. He has the mark or remark that it's more than just like a symbol of a faction there. It's a symbol of their mythology.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And he makes the connection. He goes, this planet is important to this group of rebels.
Mm.
They're always going to come back here.
Yeah.
So it just makes me wonder, do you think he's going to set up his trap on Lothal then for them?
It's a good possibility.
Yeah.
Or at the very least, he definitely thinks he can capture a certain group of rebels.
Precisely.
There.
I mean, his task currently is Phoenix Squadron. So if he can grab Hera, Kanan, and Ezra, which are two Jedi, you know.
Yeah.
You know, the
generally, if he's catching a Jedi, that's something that will improve his rank.
Yeah, big time.
I mean, that's something where even the Inquisitors failed to do.
They failed to do. Vader failed to do, and which I still don't... They still haven't answered that question. That's driving me nuts.
Why what?
Vader isn't hunting them.
Mm.
Because if Vader knew,
got distracted...
Yeah, they still they said, well, we'll answer it this season. Where is it at? I'm still waiting for it.
Vader got the ADD. He's just like, have you seen this new game? It's called Pong. It's amazing.
I mean, yeah, they may mention that Vader took care of the Jedi leadership, which means Ahsoka, but where...
Maybe,
but where is... If Vader knows about Kanan and Ezra... And he knows they're alive.
Yeah.
Why isn't he going after them? They just have an answer. It's driving me nuts.
Nor do they send other, like, Inquisitors, which probably exists after
maybe,
them.
Maybe, possibly. We don't know.
I don't know. You would think they would.
You'd think. But maybe they are wiped out. Maybe that's That was all that was left.
They only had three people left after the main Inquisitor died, what happened to the other ones?
Well, maybe they died trying to get the other Jedi throughout the years. I don't know.
Maybe. I think that'd be a reoccurring system where they'd just be re-ranking them pretty often.
Well, they are. You do see them in that one episode where they're going after the Jedi-sensitive kids or whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what their plan is eventually.
Mm-hmm. Is to rebuild just takes their a long ranks. Time.
Yeah, maybe. So let me find my spot because we went off on a tangent again.
I thought we were going from help from Fulcrum.
Yes, we are. But, yeah. So escaping Area A2 and being chased by troopers, Kallus recruits them into his elevator. Says, here, you guys come with me. Help me secure the area. And then he turns around and says, don't move, rebels.
But, yeah.
You know. And then there's a small scuffle in the elevator, and then
pretty much he gets pinned.
Right, and then he reveals himself as Fulcrum. Mm. By the light of Lothal's moon. Mm. Catches him off guard. So...
yeah, they seemed a little unnerved by it. A little annoyed by it.
So, do you believe Kallus?
Yes.
Right now you do?
Yeah.
100%?
100%.
100% he's totally on their side?
Yeah, he misses them. It's fine.
He misses them. Nice. Nice.
He just looks at that glowing rock.
I do like one thing, though. Yeah, I like how they kept throwing him. Ezra kept throwing him around with the Force, just like Force pushing him through. Pushes him down.
Oh yeah, especially turns to the end of the scene where he's just like,
"Yep,
you got to make this look authentic." Oh yeah, I got that.
Boom! Right through the glass. I'm like,
and it's like Kane's like, "Hey. I was going to do that." Well, it's like, well, he's with us now. You have your chance.
You have your chance. Right. It's okay. So, yeah, I thought it was interesting. I think we all knew it was him. At least
there was large hints at it. Yeah.
I don't want to tell you I told you guys so, but I told you guys so in season two. But
yeah, I mean, for any months once we go back to the ice planet thing, I mean, it sets it up for it.
Yeah.
So it's not that big a surprise.
Yeah.
Hey, don't get me wrong, like, there's possibilities it could have been some other people, but it makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Did they get to the point where he was actually talking about the special thing they were building to the Jedi at this point? Or, like, the special project in A2?
No.
I thought he mentioned that to him.
No, huh? they don't figure that out until they get to the briefing back on the Rebel base.
Okay.
So, when they decode the data.
Hadn't mentioned it a few times. They just hadn't mentioned the specific project.
No. He doesn't know what it is. He just knows it's a fighter.
Well, that's what I was saying. Like, they mentioned, like, that there was a special project, but not quite what it was.
Right.
So it was at this point in the episode where, like, your older theory of them, like, this maybe colliding with, like, Rogue One, actually was, like, for a brief second, I was like, oh, this actually could line up.
Yeah, because when they first show, we'll talk about it when they show the actual plans for it. Because I'll tell you what I originally thought, and then I looked at it closer.
All right.
But, yeah, he helps him with the communication room, return to Thrawn looking at his art, and he's calculating by the time that's gone by, this is how meticulous he is, he's calculated by the time that's gone by that the rebels have found help from the inside, either likely or unlikely or perhaps more likely.
Earlier in the episode, he was talking about, like, by this point, they probably escaped into different uniforms or hiding as something else, rather than looking for, like, actual workers that escaped.
Right, because he's like, well, they should have escaped by now, so this tells me either they found help on the inside, whether it was unlikely
or perhaps likely. Well, yeah, he was also expecting them to escape from a very specific path.
Right.
So he was thinking, well, if they didn't go through that path, they must have found help somewhere inside to cause them to go through a different way.
Yeah, I mean, this guy is like Sherlock Holmes 24/7. I mean, if he's, you know, he wasn't looking at a watch or anything, but, you know, I mean, he's literally...
He had a rough estimate of how much time had passed.
In his head, had it already planned out, like, how long it would take and why, you know, if it surpasses this, then logically something else has happened, so...
Yeah. So, I don't know, I guess since you're making more of an evil character, he'd be more Moriarty, but...
Yeah.
In the same sense, it... Both works. So.
Yeah, it's the same kind of logic, right? Yeah. It's if this is possible, then you know, et cetera, A, B, and C,
he's going through the natural deductions of logic,
right? Exactly, constantly. I would not want to play this guy in a game of chess, by the way.
Well, you just lose a couple of times.
I'd lose the every time. And then he'd, you know, make me a slave or something.
That went to a weird fantasy.
Not that kind of fantasy. okay, so escape from the factory. Ezra and Kanan, they steal an ATDP. That's the smaller walker with a single large gun on it that we've seen in Rebels quite a bit. And then the Rebel rider, he does his attack on the East Gate as a diversion. I like how Thrawn said, okay, we'll play their game again.
Yeah.
You know, defend the East Wing. Let's see what happens.
Mm.
So, and then the AD, Ezra takes out the eight, their little small walker, the AT, DP, and up against the larger walkers. And they're like, what are you doing here? You're not supposed to be part of this.
Mm.
And they're just like, oh, we're here as your reinforcements.
Yeah. Well, they've had a couple fun conversations this episode. Like,
yeah,
that one, and there's also one where they're guarding in the hall, and the other stormtrooper's like, oh, is this a whatever? Oh, no, we thought this was B something. Well, we're in the wrong place. Well, thanks, guys.
Oh, yeah. We were supposed to be in B-12. I told you
we were in the wrong place.
We were new recruits.
Yeah. So he had a couple scenes like that so far.
Kind of reminds me of Han on the Death Star.
Yeah.
Negative. A very large reactor leak. Need to lock it down. We're fine. How are you? Same thing.
Yeah.
So obviously Thrawn says, attack them. They're not part of them.
Yeah, he figured that out very quickly. Like, really, we didn't order him to do that. Shoot him.
Take him down. I like the scene how they got out. I like how the walker, he got under the one walker so that the other one wouldn't shoot him. Mm. And then they decide to crush him.
Yeah.
And then they use their lightsabers to get out and get into the larger walker by cutting holes.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, it was.
Kind of.
Once again, it's one of those things like, wow, man, these walkers keep going down quick in this.
Yeah, they do, right?
So. Like, as massive and terrifying as they should be in the films, like, just going down like dominoes, man.
And then, of course, they shoot at the larger walker, not knowing it's them. Mm. After they take out the other walker and blah, blah, blah. And they escape.
They have that fun little line. We expect you to take the other ones. Oh, this one had more room. Yeah.
And, of course, they say it's to Sumar's wife. He didn't make it, of course. So, poor Sumar. We barely got to know him. All right. So let's talk about the Rebel base debriefing scene. Sabine finally decrypts the data that they stole from A2 from Chopper back on the Rebel base. Find out that it's a new TIE fighter interceptor. Now, when they said interceptor, I was like, aha! That's that new Rogue One TIE fighter with the special one with just the two big wings and pointed wings on it and nothing else. I was like, aha, finally. And then they show the schematic. I'm like, damn it. Not so much.
It'll happen up at some point.
Not so much. If you watch Star Wars Rebels Recon, the official Star Wars podcast from Pablo Hidalgo, he did indeed tell us that this is the TIE Defender. The TIE Defender is from... The old TIE Fighter game that was back for the PC game. It's basically, it has a hyperdrive. The thing is as maneuverable as an X-Wing fighter. It can fire missiles. So it's basically, it's like an equalizer to the X-Wing, essentially, where the X-Wing may not be... it's heavily armed, maybe, as the TIE fighter, the regular TIE fighter. This one makes up for everything. It's the X-Wing's superior. It's superior fighter all the way around.
Okay, so like its defensive abilities are higher. It's more maneuverable and sort of thing.
Yeah, it's got shields. You know, the other TIE fighters.
So pretty much, it's just an overall upgrade over the TIE fighter.
It's a major upgrade. Yeah, this would be like putting a jet fighter up against a World War II prop aircraft.
Like, is that big a difference?
That big of a difference. Yeah, so this is like a major leap forward for the Empire. And basically, you can see why Thrawn values it so highly and why, you know, even Harris says if they're actually building these in numbers, our pilots don't stand a chance, and neither does our rebellion.
So you don't actually see these, like, in any of the films so far, right?
No, this is a strictly from the video games. This is kind of a... to me a throwback to if you played the old PC games in the 90s, this is kind of a bone they're throwing to those fans now.
Right on. So. But one of my questions is, like, if they actually make this in this universe, like, wouldn't it be one of those things, like, the modern TIE Fighters, by the time you get to, like, Episode 7, like, these should almost be, like, more common crafts?
Should be, unless they're, you know, they're only made in this factory, and it's probably just prototype still. Maybe if they take them out early enough, that's why you don't see it. But, yeah, so it's... You can see why Thrawn values it so highly, so... But I'm just wondering, because in his tactful mind, is he using it as bait? Would this be bait for his trap? That he put something out there that would draw a large rebellion, a larger rebellion, to trap them in with?
I don't know. To be honest, it does kind of seem like he is just kind of making something that gives his team the advantage. But at the same time, he could create, like, a false, like, base... Like, if he's actually creating at a different location and is making it look like this is the main point,
yeah,
then he could actually do both at the same time.
Or he's just, or it's just, this thing just happens to be hypothetical in concept or something. I mean, this is just his carrot,
yeah,
so to speak. I don't know. It just makes me wonder, though, because I think he is so tactfully minded that I could see him
using. Yeah, setting up bait for an enemy didn't seem... particularly out of the question.
Because to him, even though it's a tactful advantage for the Empire, to him, I think he'd be willing to even possibly sacrifice this thing just to use it as bait.
I don't know. I think they'd be kind of sacrificing the long-term for a short-term game in that scenario. Like, especially if this actually is that much of an improvement over the traditional fighters.
Right.
Like, I think, like, just having more of those within his army, you know, would be the long-term advantage.
Right.
So, I'm not sure I'd see him going that far for it, because that seems like more of a gamble.
Could be. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. I think next episode, we'll see. I think they do make their attack, even though it looks like Ezra gets sidetracked by Darth Maul. We'll see. So, we shall see. All right, we also find out that Kallus is Fulcrum.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's confirmed here.
Confirmed here. And even Zeb realizes, I must have accidented him, recruited him accidentally. I guess we're friends now.
Yeah.
I couldn't help but think of you guys when he said that about the whole Enemy Mine episode and how you
It's clearly the episode we keep all coming back to.
Yeah.
Like, the dude kept the rock that kept glowing next to his bed. It's just like his nightlight, comforting him every time he had a bad dream.
True. Nice. It's his Wookie.
Yeah. I don't know what that is, but all right.
It's what, like, your kid keeps, like, a blankie.
Oh, okay. So it's blankie. Not like a Wookie.
Not a Wookie, a Woogie.
Oh, okay.
No. A Wookie's totally different.
That's, I don't know. Depends on your kid, I guess.
Yeah, I guess Gabby would like a Wookie, probably. But anyway. But she has a Wookie. Anyway. All right. So... last scene of the episode is what I like to call Thrawn strategy without flaw. This is also classic Thrawn, if you ask me. Again, while he's studying his art, Thrawn explains his theory of the rebel mole. While Governor Price says we have to find him immediately, interrogate everybody, we need to find him immediately, destroy him. He basically says, patience, we'll find him eventually, and when we do... we're going to turn him into an asset.
Yeah.
In other words, we're going to turn him into a double agent.
Yeah, you saw, like, Kallus kind of have that weird look on his face. But it almost... interesting thing is, like, if you look at how Thrawn is talking this, like, scene, it almost kind of looks like he's almost expecting her, like, to be, like...
oh, you think so?
Like, a little bit. Just, like, in how he's talking to her, like...
because I think...
I don't know if that's just how I'm projecting it, like, where it comes across that way, or if it's just a misinterpretation on my end.
Because I think he's on to Kallus the whole time, and he's just playing with Kallus.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case. It's just, it's almost like that's how it came across, though.
Because he throws out, we're going to turn him into an asset, so he's letting Kallus know that he's giving him an out, number one, and then he turns to him, and he points to Kallus by name, and he says... he points it out to Kallus by name. Wouldn't you agree, Agent Kallus?
Yeah.
And, you know, and even Kallus goes, well, your strategy is without flaw, Admiral, as always.
Which is a very generic kind of compliment, isn't it?
Yeah. And the fact that he points him out by name, he gives him an out, and he points him out by name.
Yeah.
Just tells me that
Oh yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case. Just like, for some reason, like, it's not even what he said as much as just like how he projected and how he said it that almost makes it feel like it might have been the other way around.
It could be. I never really looked at it that way, but it's possible.
Like, don't get me wrong. Like, realistically, him suspecting Callus makes the most sense.
Right.
It's just, there's something in the projection of that that just made it come across that way.
Yeah. So do you think he's going to turn on the Rebels if he does, if they finally get...
If they torture him, maybe.
Yeah. You know, play against him eventually. Yeah. Hera did say we're going to use their caution with their new friend for now.
Yeah, so. And I mean, that's probably for the best with any sort of informant sort of thing in that scenario, right?
Yeah.
Like, you kind of want to be cautious about everything you hear, because even they might hear, you know, poor sources or have a misunderstanding or...
Right.
With any sort of information thing, you want to check it out and not just believe everything. It's like Facebook. Don't believe it all on first sight.
So I got two theories here. Either Thrawn knows, already knows it's Callus, and he's playing with him, and he's waiting for Callus to get 100% trust with the Rebels before he goes after him.
Either that, or he's going to use him to plant false information.
Right. That could be. That's one theory. My other theory is that it's been Thrawn and Callus are playing this game the whole time.
Oh, really? Like, Thrawn set him up to be
the informant? Undercover set him up to be the informant the whole time. It's either one or the other to me. I'm not sure, honestly.
I would suspect the former, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, because it seems like Callus might have had a change of heart before Thrawn entered the picture.
True.
So, at least that'd be my assumption. Also, I think you start seeing Fulcrum again before we see Thrawn?
They show up at the same time.
Do they?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, it's just, it's interesting
to me. Okay, so, fair enough.
So, yeah, it's, I just wonder. Because I could see Thrawn doing it both ways. So,
yeah.
Honestly.
So. Yeah. It's definitely one of those things, like, if you were going to use a false informant, you would want to give them a couple small victories to kind of plant the seeds of, you know, trust.
Trust, yep. And then turn. And
then you set for that big trap.
Right.
And so that you can take as many as possible.
It would make for a great plot twist later, because we're all expecting one thing, and we get something else instead.
Fair enough, yeah.
So, I don't know. We shall see, because they're all caught off guard by it. I mean, he's a surprise Fulcrum, for starters.
Yeah.
You know, nobody realizes it's him until he reveals himself. So, I don't know.
Well, still, even if he is, like, one of the Fulcrums, there still is, theoretically, other Fulcrums out there, right?
Right, yeah, it seems to be just a code word used in general for...
Like informants
in general. So, yeah, it was like, it's like when we first found that out in the beginning of the season, I call it the Order of Fulcrum. You know, it's almost like a spy agent's.
Yeah.
That's your title. Your 00 Fulcrum.
Yeah.
So
it's kind of like the theory that all 007s are like, double there's O's. Multiple 007s.
Yeah.
That's why there's so many different variants. It's because it's a code name rather than a person.
Right. It's assigned to different. Yeah. Exactly. Same kind of thing. So I don't know. All I know is we have definitely dissected this thing from top to bottom, so let's just get down to final thoughts and grades. I will go ahead and go first today. I like this episode a lot. I think we're back on track. This is definitely not filler. This is return to the greater storyline at all. It's the return and final action, seeing Thrawn in action. Love that. Love the introduction or inclusion of the what eventually is going to become the TIE Defender. I love that little nod, especially because I used to play that TIE Fighter game. I like having the Jedi back in action as well. It's going to get interesting. And next episode, right before fall break, it's going to get even more interesting, I think.
Oh, really? The next one's the one before fall break?
It is,
so it's the mid-season thing?
It's the mid-season finale, yeah.
Nice. Those usually tend to be pretty exciting.
Yeah, and it's I can already tell you, spoiler alert, but it's Darth Maul and that whole green mist and green eyes.
Oh, yeah, that should be cool.
That we saw in the trailer. So, Aaron, what was your final thought? Oh, I give it a solid A. So that's my grade. What's your final thought?
I'll probably give it a B, B minus in that range.
Okay.
I actually thought this was a good episode. It's definitely a major improvement over last week's. It's nice seeing Thrawn being there. It was nice seeing Kanan and Ezra kind of back in action, but it would have been kind of nice to see them kind of doing a little bit more, like having something that's a bit more of a challenge for them at the same time. I mean, a lot of this episode is them kind of sneaking around and kind of some of the funny bits with, like, you know, Chopper and, like, jumping from, like, one at DP to AT-AT sort of thing. So it would have been nice to kind of see that maybe be a little bit more fast-paced at times. But yeah, otherwise, it was actually a really good episode. And, or at the very least, it's a great step forward from last week's.
Yeah, well, I mean, I enjoyed last week. It was good standalone, but you didn't need to see it in order to understand anything else that's really going on.
Yeah.
You know, in the Star Wars universe.
I don't know, it's just, Rebels, it's a lot more fast-paced than some of the previous couple episodes. Yeah. It's definitely something where it kind of builds in the storyline more, whereas with the last couple, that hasn't necessarily been as true.
Yeah, this one definitely lends, we're back at least back into the main.
Yeah, I mean, with this season, there has been a couple episodes that really do kind of feel like filler episodes. And at least with this one, you don't have that sort of vibe from it.
No, this is definitely one episode you want to watch because it lends, I think, not only to the next episode, but it also, it gives you, it's great insight into the character of Thrawn.
Yeah, you get to see, you know, Barbecue Soma, which sounds delicious. Yes. So.
Barbecue Sumar, to be said.
Yeah, Sumar.
That's Sumar it. With a side of, like I said, calamari. It sounds like a seafood dish or something.
Yeah. I don't know, in my head it's like almost like a vegetable dish, but I can see that too.
Yeah, so. All right, well, it has been one heck of a good episode here, and if you like this episode, make sure you check us out. And how do you check us out and find more of our episodes? Well, go to Google, type in #4 Midwest Guys, and there you'll find our, excuse me, our Facebook page, our Twitter account, our YouTube account, our Podbean account. Just about everything else. So like us on Facebook, like us on YouTube, subscribe to us, I should say, on YouTube, add us to your Twitter. That way, when we release new podcasts, you'll get notified. We're also on iTunes, so make sure you check us out there. Leave us a good review as well, and reach out to us as well. If there's any questions you'd like us to answer, especially on Rebels, I'd love to answer your questions. Talk about your questions also, and we'd be more than happy to give you credit as well, of course. So reach out to us, like us, subscribe to us, and get out there and just start listening. There's a lot more content coming down the road. We have a lot of different shows, so make sure you check us out. All right, Aaron, well, thanks for joining us.
Yep, no problem.
Absolutely, and this is B. Willie saying, may the Force be with you.